Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Kurt Heelan's going to join us now. He is from NBCSports.com. And, of course, he's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Kurt. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we're excited. I got to ask you straight out of the gate. Do you think Kevin Love is going to be on this team, on the Cavaliers, when the season starts?
When the season starts, it kind of feels like it. Okay. I don't want to say they're not trading him, although that, you know, I know that buzz was out there, but it's more like just the price right now is higher than anybody's willing to pay. But I think that evolves over the course of the season Portland has come up as a rumor. Portland makes some sense, and plus they're going to get a look at the West and they're going to see what, you know, like where the Lakers are, where the Clippers are, where the Utah Jazz are now, which is better, and think we're going to have to upgrade. And then I think movement starts. And I think it's more like a deadline kind of move or something or somewhere along the line, but we'll see when.
What would he bring back to the Cavaliers, Kurt?
The challenge is that, like, that's a healthy contract, and he's not young. So it's not going to bring back an Anthony Davis, Paul George kind of return. But I still think you can get – I mean, it depends on the quality of player. I was going to say pick some players. It kind of depends on – the quality of young player you're getting will obviously impact the pick, or the quality of picks will impact the quality of the young players. But you can get some return that will help the rebuilding process kind of get jump started. I could see a couple of firsts and a lesser player or something. I mean, the problem is you got to match the salaries. So then it gets, you know, it's a matter of if you're taking on, if Cleveland ends up taking on a worse, another huge salary, what kind of picks come, do better picks come their way? It's a little tough to predict, but I imagine some combination of like first round picks, a couple of first round picks, and a player.
Kurt Heelan joining us from NBC Sports. As wacky as this offseason has been in the NBA, the Cavaliers have been really quiet, and we knew that going in because they have all these expiring contracts. And our thought has been the team that starts the season will look very different from the team that finishes the season. Would you agree with that?
Yes, very much so. I think that whether it's obviously J.R. Smith is out, but I mean, I think a lot of these guys will get moved over the course of the season as again teams start to look at their injuries or things pop up and they're like, hey, we really need some depth at, you know, at whatever position, and Cleveland's one of those teams who can provide a little of that, and then in future years, over the next couple of years, they can start to provide, hey, we can take this contract off your hands for the, you know, for the small, small price of a couple of unprotected first-round picks or whatever, you know, whatever it is. I think that's the rebuilding process in general. You're not really in a position to do what the Clippers did and rebuild on the fly. It's going to be coming down a little bit and seeing that, and also just it's about player development now, right? Like not missing in the draft and then developing guys like Sexton and, you know, we'll see where, you know, Garland Kevin Porter Jr. You're right. There's two Porters, and I'm like, no, he's not the one. So, you bring those guys along, you do it right, you take some time, and it takes a few years, but suddenly you start to see the real promise on the other back end, you know, on the other side of it.
Kurt, how do you like the way the NBA kind of shifted, like the power? I mean, clearly all feels like it's out west. For the most part, it's out west. But I love the fact that we're sitting in kind of a new era of the NBA where you don't necessarily know that that Golden State's going to win next year. And, you know, with the distribution of two stars on a lot of teams rather than three, I think we're heading towards what could be one of the most fun seasons ever in the NBA.
Doesn't it feel like we're playing a game of NBA Jam now?
Yes.
They all tuned up in duos, and you're like, we're going to match it up. I think so. And I think what's been fun is, like, it was good for you guys in Cleveland that LeBron was there and, you know, and like, you know, was dominant for the years he was there. And it was like, oh, you're going to have to get through Cleveland, even though those last year or two, you know, you weren't totally sure they were going to. But the last 2 years, you're right. I mean, the season, 3 years, I should say, the season started with, how are you going to beat Golden State? like, you know, what's going to happen to beat them? And this year you really go in saying the East is a little thinner at the top after the changes, but, you know, it could be Philadelphia, it could be Milwaukee, maybe somebody makes a trade and sneaks up into that conversation. But in the West, I mean, it's at least five deep with teams who legitimately believe they've got a shot at this, because Clippers, Lakers, Houston, Utah, I mean, everybody's sleeping on Utah. Utah's really going to be good. Denver's there, maybe Portland. I mean, that's six teams that legitimately think they got a shot at this thing.
Kurt, let me take you back to the Cavs for a second. I think everybody in Cleveland understands that the team is building. What do you think of the roster the way it's put together right now?
It's going to be a rough season. It's kind of young. I wouldn't say I studied the details of the roster, because once it got in, I'm like, okay, what kind of young talent are they getting? What are they building on? Is more interesting. I was disappointed. I was in Salt Lake and, you know, Vegas, and didn't get a chance to see some of the stars. And I get why. You know, I actually talked with the rotating assistant coaches, Beeline was there, a few others, but about like why they did this, for a story on the number of guys sitting out this year, which was kind of a concern for the summer league management. But it, you know, when I looked at that roster, it was more to me about like what's next. And I think it's fine. It's put together well enough. It's going to be a rough season. They're not going to, you know, you're lottery bound on some level. And the question is where, and by the way, you don't have to totally tank, right? Like, that's the one thing that changes now. What do the Pelicans have, 6% chance or whatever it was? But the odds are so flat now that if you're in the bottom five or six, you've got a really legitimate shot at that, as much as anybody, at that number one. You don't need to go full Sam Hinkie on this thing to assure yourself the best chance.
Kurt Helin joining us, covers the NBA for CBS, or excuse me, for NBC Sports. Kurt,
I'll move to CBS if they'll pay me enough.
You sound like us. if you're an NBA fan, do you love what happened this offseason, or do you not like it because it changes so much so frequently, and the players seem to be controlling so much of it rather than building franchises? I think a great argument could be made either way. What do you think?
I was about to say, to me, that argument almost comes down generationally. Like, I want to say older fans, but people of a slightly older era who remember franchises being built. And I don't mean like, you know, Gen X or somebody talking about Showtime Lakers or something, but even more recent, the Bulls fans and stuff like that. But there are certain fans who are like, man, I'm not sure that I like the players having all this power. I liked when guys were in one jersey for most of their career, and we're not trying to move around, and we're not trying to kind of game the system. But I think with younger fans, and honestly, with just the buzz that goes on around the league, this works for them. Like, they like there's a real fans love the GM side of it, the team building side of it, even if it's kind of a little more bought and paid for than developed and drafted. They like this kind of movement. I mean, just our traffic, and it's not just us, it's, you know, the Four Letter Network and everybody else, you know, everybody's traffic goes up more in this kind of off season when there's a lot of movement, and a lot of excitement and a lot of buzz than normally. So it's say what you will about it. And people are, I've had more than one person that I know out here, you know, I live in Los Angeles. I have a lot of Laker friend fans who now believe Kawhi Leonard is the devil, who were like, I don't really like, they couldn't take their eyes off of it. And then they turn around and say, yeah, but I don't really like how this is going, but they can't take their eyes off of it. So I'm not sure it's bad for the league. And I don't know how they're changing it. I don't know how you put that the players have too much power genie back in the bottle very easily.
I'll be honest. I like the way Kawhi Leonard went about his business.
I was fine. Yeah.
Because it was, you know, everything wasn't everybody's business. And there wasn't a rumor 24/7. Now, obviously, the Lakers were part of that. But I think looking at it from everything we went through with LeBron here and all the rumors we had left, I like the way Kawhi handles business. Who's going to – the Lakers have always owned the town there, right?
Yes.
And how far are the Clippers away from saying, you know what, you guys better settle down because you should be looking at us?
There's been more of that in recent years. They're always going to be – I don't know, always might overstate it. It's going to be a long time before the Clippers could supplant the Lakers here. The Lakers are, I don't know, I'm not sure what the Cleveland equivalent is, but they're the Browns. They're the team
That's
that
fair.
My dad took me to games as a kid. I've taken my daughters to games. Like, I could choose. I can get tickets to either one. The Lakers are an experience. It's a scene. You go see stars. You go see Kobe. You go see this. It's just a different vibe, and that's, you know, that's the one that gets passed down. But there's a lot of – this is still a big city, and it's – there's a lot of people who are coming around to the Clippers, A, you know, not just because it was more affordable, which may be less and less the case, and more just like they were the underdogs. That's a team to root for, and now – and they're going to be fun to watch this year. That's a – Pat Beverly and Paul George and Kawhi Leonard on the, you know, on the wings, all of them out playing defense at once. Like, have fun making passes. Yeah. Like, they're going to be a pretty entertaining team to watch.
So if you're looking at the Eastern Conference, who do you like? Because Toronto obviously has had huge losses. Boston might be better by subtraction. I don't know. Who do you like other than maybe Milwaukee?
Yeah, I'd say Boston to me takes a step back, but it's less Kyrie. I mean, I don't think the Kemba Kyrie trade is going to hurt them as much. I mean, Kyrie's a better player than Kemba, but Kemba's a, hey, guys, you're with me, puts his arm around you, leads you into battle kind of guy that I think is going to work better in their locker room and get Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown kind of flowing again. What they're going to miss, I think, is Al Horford. I'm not sure defensively who they stop. Like, they don't have much rim protection right now. I mean, Robert Williams, but I'm just not sold on them defensively right now. But to me, it's, yeah, Milwaukee, obviously, although I think they miss Brogdon some, but I think that they're obviously right there. I think Giannis is – I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's still pretty good. But I think – I'm kind of higher on Philadelphia than other people. I really – I think I like Josh Richardson in that role, willing to accept the role. I like Tobias Harris. I think they've got guys who fit what they want to do. The only question I think we all have with them now is, all right, 2 minutes left in a tight game against a good team. Who's your shot creator? Is it Ben Simmons? Can he be that guy? Because he wasn't, you know, it was Jimmy Butler down the stretch last year. So who is that guy now?
It's a good question. Let me throw this one at you. Chris Paul end up in Miami?
Probably, because I can't think of another option. Honestly, I mean, I know they're a little stalled out on compensation and picks, and Miami wants a pick or two to take on that contract. The Thunder aren't really, they're rebuilding. They've got so many picks. Danny Ainge thinks they have too many picks, and I still think they don't really want to give them up. But eventually, I think they'll come around to it, because I don't know. He's 34 with 3 guaranteed years at $124 million, and he showed decline last year. He's still, like, maybe the best floor general in the game. He's still a very good player. You know, what was it, 15-7 with assists or something? But, man, that's a lot of money. And there's just not a lot of teams that would be willing to take that on, and he wants to be in a place that's competitive. So I'm not sure where else it is than Miami, but this might drag out the training camp because – I mean, do they have to get a third team involved? I'm just not sure how they pull this whole thing together.
Maybe that's where the Cavs become a player, too, as a third team and something.
Yeah, see, I think that's actually something that could really happen with the Cavs as you get into the season when somebody, whether it's Jimmy Butler, whether it's Chris Paul or some other guy starts moving, you jump in as a third team, as a facilitator, and kind of make the whole thing work.
Kurt, thank you very much. Of course, we'll read you on NBCSports.com, and we'll follow you on Twitter at Basketball Talk. Thanks, Kurt.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Kurt, awesome.
Appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.